As the other two men standing by the back door didn't seem to want to join in, Beth assumed the fight would be over fairly quickly. She could only watch as her brother landed an uppercut on the other man, the force of which almost knocked him out. As Bernie waited for him to get back on his feet, he shouted to Beth, "Do us a favor, sis. Grab a cab. This ain't gonna last much longer, and then we need to be out of here." She gave them both one last look before reluctantly obeying her brother. She ran off down the alley, and once she reached the main road, began searching for a taxi. She only had to wait a couple of minutes before she spotted a familiar yellow "for hire" sign. Beth flagged down the cabbie as the man Bernie had felled staggered past her and disappeared into the night. "Where to, love?" asked the cabbie. "Bacon Road, Bow," said Beth, "and two of my friends will be along in a moment," she added as she opened the back door. The cabbie glanced over her shoulder and down the alley. "I don't think it's a taxi they'll be needing, love," he said. "If they were my friends, I'd be phoning for an ambulance." Book 1. The Trial. Chapter 1. "Not guilty." Danny Cartwright could feel his legs trembling as they sometimes did before the first round of a boxing match he knew he was going to lose. The associate recorded the plea on the indictment and, looking up at Danny, said, "You can sit down." Danny collapsed onto the little chair in the center of the dock, relieved that the first round was over. He looked up at the referee, who was seated on the far side of the courtroom in a high-backed green leather chair that had the appearance of a throne. In front of him was a long oak bench littered with case papers in ring binders and a notebook opened at a blank page. Mr. Justice Sackville looked across at Danny, his expression revealing neither approval nor disapproval. He removed a pair of half-moon spectacles from the end of his nose and said in an authoritative voice, "Bring in the jury." While they all waited for the 12 men and women to appear, Danny tried to take in the unfamiliar sights and sounds of Court Number 4 at the Old Bailey. He looked across at the two men who were seated at either end of what he'd been told was counsel's bench. His young advocate, Alex Redmayne, looked up and gave him a friendly smile. But the older man at the other end of the bench, whom Mr. Redmayne always referred to as prosecution counsel, never once glanced in his direction. Danny transferred his gaze up into the public gallery. His parents were seated in the front row. His father's burly, tattooed arms were resting on the balcony railing, while his mother's head remained bowed. She raised her eyes occasionally to glance down at her only son. It had taken several months for the case of the Crown versus Daniel Arthur Cartwright finally to reach the Old Bailey. It seemed to Danny that once the law became involved, everything happened in slow motion. And then, suddenly, without warning, the door in the far corner of the courtroom opened and the usher reappeared. He was followed by 7 men and 5 women who had been chosen to decide his fate. They filed into the jury box and sat in their unallocated places, 6 in the front row, 6 behind them, strangers with nothing more in common than the lottery of selection. Once they had settled, the associate rose from his place to address them. "Members of the jury," he began, "the defendant, Daniel Arthur Cartwright, stands before you charged on 1 count of murder. To that count, he has pleaded not guilty. Your charge, therefore, is to listen to the evidence and decide whether he be guilty or no."